No one likes to fill a full cup. If you're going to be full, people will avoid you. The only thing that people do with full cups that they didn't fill themselves and they don't know where that water came from. If you want to use that cup, you pick that cup up and you violently pour out what's in it. And unless you want to be constantly proved wrong, empty your cup so people can fill it up.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 134 with speaker, podcaster, and business strategist, Antonio Smith Jr.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, JC Preston, and along with me today is the host of the Amplify Indie podcast, Harrison Painter. If this is the first time you're listening in, this is the show where we bring you a life lesson or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you find and execute your own personal mission and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. Thank you for joining us today. Hope you're having an amazing week. It's the final week of October, and you know, I have to tell you, I'm feeling a change in the air. And sure, it's getting colder outside, but I also find myself getting the chance to talk to more and more inspirational people. And as you're going to hear in the show today, Harrison was just about to host the big Amplify event regarding possibilities around poverty. And I got to say, I mean, that event was really, really amazing. Not only did the speakers really bring it, but the panel that we had was awesome. And personally, I got a chance to connect with the Libertarian candidate for the U.S. Senate, which was pretty cool. And this is such a huge change because a year ago, I was still heavily solopreneuring this thing. And well, so much has really changed. And one of those things is that I just generally have this feeling that I'm moving in the right direction now. And I think a big part of that is that I'm helping the right people meet those who will add value to their own lives and businesses. In today's chat with our guest, Antonio Smith Jr., we got a chance to learn about his perspective on doing just this. And, since he was in high school, he's been developing his gift of being a communicator. And with this gift, he helps others at all levels break through mental barriers that are preventing them from getting to where they really want to be. So in our chat today, we discussed the mindset that helped him get out of poverty, how mentors have been a huge part of his success, and as an influencer, how he deals with the pain of others not reaching their full potential. But before we get to that, I want to remind you guys about our friends over at Fizzle. And, this past week, I wrote a blog post talking about my choice to place past episodes of the show behind a $3 paywall on Patreon. And I've been struggling with this idea for a while because I think it's important that new entrepreneurs and creatives can see the progress of the show. I think it does a great job of illustrating that you don't start anything perfectly, because I surely didn't. But on the other hand, I've been realizing more and more the value of these conversations. And while they're not perfect, they are a journal of things I've learned along this journey. So to make my decision on whether or not to put this paywall up, I went over to Fizzle to see what their take on the topic would be. And I found a great resource called The Hurdle Between Free and Paid. As I said in the blog post, it really helped me sort out what I wanted to do. And while you can actually access this write-up and podcast session for free too, it might not be tailored to your particular situation with your business. If that's the case, you might consider becoming part of the Fizzle community. Once you do that, you have access to courses, a growing community full of real entrepreneurs just like you, and weekly coaching sessions. I've been a member of theirs since 2015, and just because I really just find the resources there so useful. And with their newly added bonus of having a free WordPress hosting for all their members, if you're just beginning, it makes the deal that much better. Join free today for a month by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. Again, that's newinceptions.com/FIZZLE. All right, speaking of going from free to paid, you can check out the page over at Patreon via patreon.com/newinceptions. We have two categories of three tiers over there. One is for supporters of the show, and the other is for future partners. That said, don't forget to subscribe to the show and whatever you listen to podcast. If you're listening through iTunes, leave a review and a comment, and I'll give you a shout out in a future session. And as usual, show notes and show note extras of this conversation can be found at newinceptions.com/134. And I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm JC Preston, your host, and joining me today is the awesome Harrison Painter, who has been kinds of all busy getting ready for a big event this month here in Indy. Harrison, you want to tell us what's going on with that and what exactly it is?
Well, I'm pretty fired up. The Amplify Indy monthly experience, what it started off literally six months ago, is this kind of small local networking event. And we started theming them. And in 6 months, we have gone from 30, 40 people at our first event to we're going to have well over 150, maybe even close to 200 this month for our event. This month, it's at the Vogue in downtown Broad Ripple, the historic Vogue venue. We're super excited about that. And our theme, which is tied into this podcast today, mm-hmm. is possibilities over poverty. So we are bringing in a local artist that donates her proceeds to different charities that benefit poverty and sex trafficking survivors. We actually have a homeless choir coming in to perform called Matthew's Voices. I did not even know something like that existed before. Mm-hmm. We have Hearts in Hands Homeless Outreach coming in to do a talk. He serves people on the street dinner every single week, and he's just an incredible, Ty Griffin, an incredible individual and a leader here in Indianapolis. We're going to be doing a poverty simulation with the United Way of Central Indiana, and then we have a monster panel of folks that are coming in to discuss possibilities over poverty. So too many to list for this podcast, but we've got a lot of panelists coming up, a lot of people in the community putting an input. And the mission of the event is in no way to solve the homeless or poverty problem, right? We don't want to fix anybody with this. What we want to do is look at new possibilities, right? Start getting creative, look at different things and different ways we can think to look at new possibilities instead of always focusing on fixing everything.
Right.
So that's kind of the mission of the event.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really, it sounds like it's going to build awareness quite a bit and have a lot of impact. And to me, it's really amazing that you've been able to put it together as quickly as you have. So congratulations on doing that and getting everything good to go.
Thank you, sir.
As you were saying, today's guest is familiar with poverty. He was born in it himself, and as recently he stated in his Goldcast video, which came out in the last couple of weeks, his parents had to actually give him up when he was six, and he spent much of his developmental years in Child Protective Services. And when he was in high school, he was able to actually find his gift, which was being able to be a communicator in front of groups. And ever since then, he's been using this gift to help others become better versions of themselves in life and business. And he's done some of that through 2000 keynotes. He also has his own podcast called Brick by Brick, which he co-hosts with his wife, Tempest, and is business advisor to motivational speaker Les Brown. Today, we're talking with Reverend Antonio Smith, who can be found on the web at theatsjr.com. Antonio, thanks for spending some time with us today, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Let me tell you, I was laughing when you said I know something about poverty because I was born into it. But I got to go back to this whole possibilities of poverty thing. That is amazing what you're doing in the streets, man. That's incredible.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I thought I was listening to Mother Teresa or something.
Well, I do want to point one thing out real quick on how this got inspired. So our previous five events, we found out through these five events, three of our five keynote speakers have experienced homeless in their career.
Wow.
That's an eye opener.
Yeah, it is. And it happens more often than what you would think. I mean, I spent 6 to 18 homeless. It was not okay. It's extremely marketable and to sell now, mm-hmm. but it was hell going through, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for me, one of the things that when Gary Vee pointed it out, you know, people that have to struggle at some point in their career tend to always have a little bit more of a fire to get things done. And I think that kind of attributes to what you've been able to accomplish in your career a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was crazy. You bring up Gary Vee because I like Gary Vee. He's a great guy. I think I've met him once or something, but I feel like an immigrant. I feel like an immigrant to America. Even though I was born in America, poverty was my country. Mm. That's all I knew. It's two different Americas. I mean, I never went outside my city, you know, it was just the hood and all that stuff. So now I still get excited about seeing water fountains, the public water fountains that people walk past, don't want to put their mouth on and all that stuff.
Right.
It's crazy to me because I never had running water growing up. It's exciting to see water. I mean, I'm 37 years old and I get excited about public water fountains, man. So I really feel I have an immigrant's eyes and I capture more opportunities than most people because I'm not used to all these things that we take for granted.
Yeah. And then to that note, that seems like the oldest fountains are the better tasting ones too.
I agree.
But, you know, speaking and communicating is something that, you know, I've always personally struggled with. And, you know, you being a keynote speaker of over, you know, 2,000 times, man, I mean, I'm completely amazed by that. And in fact, you know, when I was first in college, one of the first classes I had to take was a comm class that I was lucky to get a C in. And over 5 years, you know, I eventually had to make somewhat of a mental shift for my performance anxiety issues. And I know that Harrison struggles with social anxiety a bit too. So he's had to kind of work on this issue as well. But going back to you, you know, you knew you had this natural ability in high school. This was a gift of yours. And, you know, I've had several guests that have been on the show who have been mentored, really, from an early age, and all of which I'd call them all high performers. Question I have is, how did you get set up with this later would have been your mentor? I mean, was it luck? Did he find you? I mean, how'd that all go down?
Yeah, it's a great question. First off, I wish my first name was Harrison because that's just really powerful.
Like, thank you, sir.
Harrison Smith Jr. I'd probably do 80,000 keynotes with a name like that.
Thank you,
but,
sir.
But yeah, I was tearing it up. I think one of the strongest things that I have is two things, really. I process information extremely rapidly, so I think very quickly. And then secondly, I mean, I have no fear at all because, I mean, what you gonna do, put me back in poverty? I mean, I've been there, right? There's nothing you can do worse to me than what I've been through. So I was doing 400, I'm still doing 400 keynotes a year, and Les Brown found out about me.
Okay.
I was tearing it up. Yeah, I didn't seek him. He sought me and then asked me to join his network. And I started off as a member in his network. And the crazy thing is I brought in my whole team. Well, I brought in half my team. So I brought me and then I brought in three other people. And to give you an idea, you don't really join a Les Brown network for free. Mm-hmm. So let's just say we spent some good money to get up in there. And that, you know, that took some notice as well. And he was like, wow. And then all of a sudden, I worked my way up to being a COO of his whole legacy. So it's actually a pretty good deal.
Right, right. Well, I guess I'm not specifically talking about him being your mentor. I'm talking about the one back in high school that actually said that you have a gift of communication.
Yeah, he saved my life. That's Michael Merritt. Okay, so that's a different story. Now we got to go to the... Well, we got to go to the thuggish side now, okay? I was a little thug, and I was bad, and so I was homeless. So I'm grown. I'm 15 and going on 40. I don't listen. Mm-hmm. I've got all these muscles because I play football. I'm arrogant, and I'm cocky. and I break my shoulder. Right? It's always something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I totally break my shoulder making a tackle, but I don't tell anyone. And I go back and make the next tackle, and I take it completely out of place. I break my rotator cuff, my ligaments, and even my bone. Now I can't play football anymore. And I'm supposed to go to college. Recruiters are there and all that stuff. And I'm upset doing the whole woe is me thing. And he picks me up and he says, listen, man, I used to be a quarterback. And you're whining like a little baby. I blew out my knee. You blew out your shoulder. What's next? And of course, this sound advice that changed my life, I did not listen to at all. At all. So what he did was he wound up telling me, man, look, that's the problem. You need to listen. But what he told me later, we actually do lunch all the time. What he told me later was I reminded him of him. And he pulled me under his wing. And that's how I met Mr. Merritt. Not because I was great, because I was a butthole, man. I was absolutely a bad kid.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, that again, what of being able to find someone like that. So it was for you, it was luck, but for him, you know, maybe he was looking for some sort of relationship with someone that, you know, he could be an impressionable on and make sure that they don't make the same mistakes that he was making. But it always seems to me that people who get that early on, I mean, you were 18 at the time, right? Or
16 through 18. He molded me from 16 through 18.
So even from that point, I mean, he started shaping what would, you know, you through your, you know, what you'd become in your 20s and all that sort of stuff, where a lot of people, you know, they go through their 20s as and calling them their whatever years, right? Because they're just kind of just trying to figure stuff out on their own. And what I've noticed is that a lot of times, you know, you're going to find people that are going through, it's funny to say, but, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, it was called the midlife crisis, and you heard a lot about that, but today you hear more about the quarter life crisis. And, you know, I think a good part of that is because today's youth doesn't get the mentorship that they once did at all. What do you think about that?
I completely agree, man. If it wasn't for mentor Michael Merritt, actually, I can give you I had some notable mentors. Michael Merritt and Joel Osteen came first from Lakewood Church. I came after Michael Merritt and then Les Brown and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for mentors, we would be nothing. Everybody needs someone that they can pour into, and then everyone needs someone that they can receive from. And now I mentor a lot of people, man. I mean, one-on-one group sessions. And my belief system is this here. If I make JC, if I teach JC every single thing I know, and then JC knows every single thing he knows, now JC is twice as smart as me. And that's the power of mentors, to go around making people twice as smart as them. And if everyone was to do that, this world would be a far better place.
Yeah, totally, totally. And as someone that is going to be soon 37 myself, is there a way for people our age to find mentorship in the, you know, traditional meaning of the word? Or I mean, is that something that we got to... You know, say here, I'm going to pass it on to my next generation or my kids, and they can have the proper mentorship.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go the traditional route, to be honest with you. And I'm speaking this here from experience. I landed most of my mentors that have changed my life, and it's been a good one for sure, by asking them different untraditional questions like, hey, I see this wonderful car you have. What books do you read? And that's what's crazy. People, successful people, love people who are not asking, how do you duplicate the harvest? They love people who ask the questions, how do I plant the same harvest that you are planting? Mm-hmm. And that's not really a traditional route, you know, go apply or something. Because you, if you duplicate a harvest, that's expensive and it won't even last because you're just looking like money, right?
Right.
You want to be able to ask, hey, JC, man, you doing this great podcast. Harris, you know, great podcast. Do me a favor. What articles did you read before you started? I'm hungry. I would love to do this for you. Or here's even another suggestion that I would love to hear from people. I would do this for you for free. Please teach me what you know, so I can then make an impact on my own life. Anybody with that heart, anybody successful is going to mentor them. Mm.
I love that. You know, I used to say for years, like, I was never lucky enough to find a mentor. But looking back now on my life, because I just turned 48, so I'm a little bit older, is I was a lot like you when you said you were a thug. Like, I didn't listen. So mentors weren't really open to me anyway, because I was egotistical, stubborn, you name it, right? And I knew it all, and nobody could tell me anything anyway. So I think a lot of people, especially the younger generation right now, are trapped a little bit in that mindset as well because of social media and the narcissism that we see in society. I will say one thing, especially since we're talking to a reverend as well, that even if you can't find a mentor, you have one. And I can tell you the last year has really been impactful for me because I started looking to God as a mentor. And I never really did that before, at least not as an adult. And it's really been life-changing for me to look at it like that and realize that you're never fully alone.
Wow. That is, I'm certainly not going to disagree with that one, right? Like, you know, you're pulling at my heartstrings right now. No, I completely agree. The one thing I would just highlight that you said, no one likes to fill a full cup. If you're going to be full, people will avoid you.
Yeah.
The only thing that people do with full cups that they didn't fill themselves and they don't know where that water came from, if you want to use that cup, you pick that cup up and you violently pour out what's in it. And unless you want to be constantly proved wrong, empty your cup so people can fill it up.
Well, let me ask you this. So I think this is important to say because guys like you and me, I think we are molded based on that ego, that stubbornness that we had at the time. And I truly think that it made us better. It made us the people that we are, even though there's times where you kind of look back and wish maybe you wouldn't have done it. But let me ask you, if your drive for success and helping other people, do you think that part of that stubbornness actually turned into something positive that now benefits other people?
Absolutely. 100% of it. The truth is, gentlemen, I'm still egotistical. I am still arrogant, still stubborn. It drives me. Mm-hmm. But now my motives have shifted. Mm-hmm. I'm not egotistical about being proving you wrong. I'm now egotistical about how can I produce income for you.
Love it.
You know, I am so stubborn to the point where if I set a task, I'm going to dominate that task until that task bows to me and give me what I want. Mm. That takes an insane amount of stubbornness to say what you want and then take all those losses until the victory shows up. I have not really changed in my temperament. I'm still intense, aggressive, and extremely polarizing. In fact, I'm not a regular reverend for sure. There are other people who will be sheep, you know, hey, you know, be. I'm not that guy. You know, I'm not. I'm more, you come in my office, I'm going to be like, okay, so what did you do wrong type thing? Mm. My total personality has never really changed. There's just something that I understand that what got me here won't get me there. Mm. And I've had to tailor everything. The mere fact that I used to try to be better than my parents, that's insane, because all I did was make people hate me because I was trying to be better than the people who raised me. Now I understand my parents did the best they could with what they had.
Man, I love that. And I do want to share a quote. I honestly don't remember who said this, but it stuck with me for a very long time. If you're not willing to accept the heartbreak, you don't want it bad enough.
Wow.
And when you really think about that statement, because it took me a while to get it. Like, originally when I heard that statement, I was like, I don't even remotely understand what you just said. Right? But now as you get older and you have a few failures in your life and you see the struggles to get where you need to go, right, out of poverty or the next sale or whatever that is for you, you have to be able, you know, maybe we call it failure today, but I think if you're not ready for the heartbreak and the no's, you don't want it bad enough.
All facts, man. All facts.
Before the show, I was actually watching some of your YouTube videos, and there's a lot to bring in all at one time. And the one that you'd posted most recently was you called it "Why High Performers No Longer Perform Highly." And you know, I've really often thought about that question myself. I think that a lot of people that as they grow up through life, they're being externally motivated to do well in school and do well in sports and all this sort of stuff, especially in our generation and younger. And when they get into the adult world, many times they settle for a life of mediocrity. And it's really interesting to, you know, you have these people that are so driven to be in sports and perform well there if you know, if they're an athlete, or, you know, maybe they are really good at academics and they do really well in college, but from there they get into this world where, again, as we were talking about, it kind of a lack of mentorship. How do you reach out to those who are living that life of quiet desperation? And how do you help them see that there's a better way?
Yeah, two things, but it's really one thing. Winning and constantly winning is a major problem, because winning has never taught me anything. And when you're coming from college or whatever, you move into adult life is going to teach you losses as fast as possible.
Quickly,
right? And you're not coddled by these losses this time. There's no mom and dad to come pick you up. And there's no desperation. It is quiet. It is, you know, loud desperation, quiet. You're just going to get up and get it done. Losing has taught me everything, is what I would tell these people, that you have to start looking at your losses as training grounds, because winning has only ever taught me how to be comfortable, arrogant, and superstitious. That's the only thing winning has ever taught me. Losing has taught me how to do everything, single thing that I needed. If it wasn't for losing, I wouldn't even know how to actively listen to both of y'all without cutting you off. You know, you have to be able to take these losses. If any one of you out there in quiet desperation, you're not even in a bad place. There is no such thing as failure. It's just not. It's a limited word that we use because it's in our language. But you can get wherever you need to get to, even if where you currently are is completely your fault. Period. You just got to keep moving forward. Sometimes we take longer roads, but there is no failure. Failure is just that thing that we describe that on a longer road.
But we do have another social culture issue right now that I think hurts our kids, right? That kind of combats that in a very negative way. And that's this culture of victimhood that we experience now, right? We see it everywhere. We see it on social media. We see it in traditional media. You know, we push those agendas, be it whatever those agendas are, and we teach these kids that victimhood is okay, and that you're supposed to be a victim, and it's everybody else's fault but yours. And at least with my organization and what we're doing, we're really focused on telling people, stop being the victim. You're better than that. Let's focus. Stop being a victim. Start being a leader. And when you start taking that leadership role and start taking on that personal responsibility and start seeing that anything is possible, everything changes. And we have a great example here in India of that, a gentleman named Christian Alessio. Mm-hmm. He's four different things. Incredible guy. He spent the majority of his youth homeless, a lot like you did. He's a lot like you. He spent the majority homeless. He ended up finding out he's a type 1 diabetic. He's African-American, and he's a military war veteran. Now, three of those four things typically keep you out of the career path that he's in. He's an IndyCar racer, professional race car racer. And talking with him, he flat out says, look, nobody has kept me down because I have not allowed them to. And that's pretty powerful when you really put that mindset into action.
That's, man, that is so right. You immediately give me two things to say. For one, there's this lady on Shark Tank that everybody knows. I just can't remember her name right now because I'm just drawing a blank. But the billionaire on Shark Tank, when she interviews people, she says one question. She says, why are you not successful? And if they say anything but it's my fault, she does not hire them. And she doesn't even continue the interview because I've read this on Business Insider, and her thought process is after 14 years old, if you blaming anybody else, you can't work for me because you will not make money and you will bring negative things with you that I can't afford around in my business. And I think that is so powerful.
Wow.
Because she's right. And that's how billionaires think. Victims do not make money. And what they do is they attract with them. You know, people are like, victims are like grenades. Grenades are designed to explode. But here's the problem. It's not the explosion that gets people. Y'all know this. It's the shrapnel.
Right.
And some people, they're just shrapnel, just looking for Harrison and looking for JC and looking for Antonio and trying to just ruin us with something that exploded in their life at 9. Now they're 45-year-old shrapnel going around trying to ruin everybody else. No, get over it. You were 9. So what? She told you you can't read. See, I told you I'm such a bad reverend. I really am.
I love it.
I know she said you couldn't read when you were 6. Get over it. Do some poetry out loud and take over your life. It's crazy, man.
You know, I love that. I just shared a quote earlier today that, you know, not every day can be a masterpiece, but every day is a miracle. And I think we take that for granted a lot of times, right? The fact that you woke up, you're good to go, man. Right? You got a shot today. So you spoke about Les Brown earlier, definitely a celebrity, especially in these motivational and business circles. I've worked with a lot of celebrities in the past myself. Talk a little bit about how those opportunities come to someone, right? If you're a young kid in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa, you know, what chance does he ever have to meet a Les Brown or a Bob Berg or a Gary Vaynerchuk or any of those guys, and gather inspiration from people like that?
Wow. I do a lot of radio interviews. This is probably the best question I've been asked all year. Really, it is. Because, and I'm not just saying that, because the truth is, if you don't believe it, it just doesn't happen. I am constantly the youngest person in rooms, constantly. As a matter of fact, the people that some of the people that I work with, I have to have NDAs on, but I am constantly the youngest person in the room, and constantly they are asking me what I think they should do next. And that's two things I'm bringing out here. For one, you have to believe that you can meet whoever the heck you want to meet. And I'm not just trying to be philosophical. If you can't hold it in your mind, you won't hold it in your hands. I don't care if you're in a cornfield in Nebraska. I don't care if you're at an IndyCar race or you just are in a trash can in Galveston, Texas. If you don't get your mind out of your situation, scientifically, your body cannot follow. Mm-hmm. It's just a fact. And the second thing there is, you got to know something. You have to actually add value. The reason why these people ask me what they should do next with what they're doing is because I actually give them value first before they do anything for me. And if I could just open up everyone's head, especially in the Western Hemisphere, and just pour that in first, that if you keep asking people for stuff and you have not given them something first, you're dooming yourself to poverty. You can't say, ground, give me some oranges, and never put an orange seed into the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to give value, give it away, ask them first, so you'll never meet celebrities. You just won't, and you won't work with them because you're going to be too busy starstruck and asking them to change your situation instead of giving your value and changing their situation.
Right. And I think that that's the biggest key. I mean, going back to the talk that we were talking about on YouTube that you gave, you know, one of the things that you were talking about is putting the bait out there, so to speak, and bait that your audience wants. And that translates exactly to what you're saying, is that you need to, before, what is it that John Maxwell says all the time? He's like, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Yep. And that, I mean, that's by showing value, you're showing that you actually care.
Absolutely. And you know what? And I'm glad you said that, because by showing value, you actually knock down walls that everyone else says exist. Now, let me, and I know that no one on planet Earth sees color, but let me just tell you, I'm a black guy in America. And I am supposed to, according to some people, think that I can't do some things. But you know what? I don't vibrate at that frequency. The market does not care. 67% of my audience are what we would call white people. I'm like the Dave Chappelle of business and motivation, right? Like, seriously, right? You know, white people love Dave Chappelle, right? He's so awesome and stuff. But it's crazy because the market doesn't care. And if you are a woman receiving oppression from any angle, I have great sympathy for you, but the market doesn't care. Go to the internet where there is no oppression. If you are what you perceive to be the wrong color in whatever country you're in, go to the internet where there is no color, because your dollars got to go up in the stock market like everyone else's dollars. And if you're out here adding value, and if you keep your mind focused on what you want, there is not an oppression or oppressor that can stand against whatever you want. So please stay focused and stop making excuses, and don't vibrate at the frequency of the stuff against you.
I love it. I love it. Now, I've got, this is a big question too. This is one that I think most of us that are faith-based struggle with from time to time, if not always. How do you balance Christian values with business values? Because a lot of times they're in conflict.
Yeah, they're in conflict. we could do 15 podcasts on that one for sure. Yeah, they're in conflict. Here's what I've done with balancing my Christian values with business values. Two fundamental beliefs, and I'm never going to change them no matter what. Fundamental belief number one, there's only one of us in the room. I am just of the belief that we are all from the creative source. Church, you say God. Universal, you say whatever you want to say. Doesn't matter to me. Have your faith over your vernacular, whatever you want to use. But there's no difference between JC, Harrison, Antonio, and whatever I do to them, I do also unto me. And that, if I never knew anything else in any book of faith, that's enough to make me walk the straight line on just about everything in every book of faith, because whatever I do to you, I do to me. And that's a powerful Christian value or faith value that you can have. The second thing, and I have to draw this from the Christian Bible, John chapter 15, verse 9 says, and I love this, it says, you can't give glory by what? This is the guy from Nazareth talking, right? He says, unless you have fruit, unless you bear much fruit, you cannot be my Father's disciple. Man, if I could say this as calmly as possible, if you're not bearing much fruit, you're just saved. You're not a disciple. We owe it to the world. Good people do a lot of good things with a lot of good money.
Wow. Speaking of money, that's one of the things that I always come back to, is like whenever people are saying, oh, those people are greedy and they just want attention. It's like, maybe, but you know, from my perspective, money is an amplifier of someone's personality. And if, you know, someone is good, then they're going to use that money for good purposes. Or if they are bad, then they'll use it for bad purposes. It's not the actual money that is the issue. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I love when you say that people say, they just want attention. Well, yeah, because nobody buys what's boring. Okay. it intrigues me how people are just so brainwashed at sometimes. Of course I want attention because that's the only way to get money. Or of course I want attention because the bigger platform, the bigger my donations can get. Or money's not everything. But I didn't ask you that, and neither did I bring that up. I know money's not everything because I can't eat money, but I can eat with money, right? It's just one of those things that people say the strangest things because they're not willing to take responsibility for their own self, and they're not willing to be their own rescue. And that is something in a faith-based community that we really struggle with, waiting for someone else to rescue us instead of us rescuing and taking responsibility of ourselves.
Right, right.
All right. So this is another important question, especially for right now, a guy like me who's building a local organization, a localized community focused on community building, helping people think differently, changing mindsets. How do you emotionally deal with being in a room with people when you know less than 10% typically are going to actually take your advice and do something with it? And I'm probably being a little gracious with that number, right? And there's so many people that come into your life that are there that you see the potential in, that you know with just a few tweaks could make a huge difference in the world, but they can't get out of their own way. How do you emotionally deal with that?
I would actually say it's less than 2% of people, not 10. So you were being very gracious. I think 98% of the people, you can give away $1 million of advice and they won't take it at all. They'll get excited but won't take it. I emotionally deal with this by not dealing with it. And I know that sounds cold, and I don't mean to be cold. Here's what I mean. Counselors can't be too empathetic, because if they are, they go home and kick the dog. I have to remember two things. I have to remember that everyone won't get it, and then I have to have enough heart to have passion for when they don't get it. My heart makes me go speak to another crowd and give more information away, and then study harder and then prep harder so I can say, well, you know what? It's my fault they didn't get it, so let me do better. That's where the heart part comes in. But at the same time, I understand that what you don't get is not my responsibility, because when I try to make it that, it's me planting the seed and then trying to dictate when that seed is going to become a tree. And I've had to wrestle with that. Now I just be the seed sower and not try to dictate or motivate when someone's seed is going to become a tree in their life.
I love that. You know, that's incredible advice. It's right along the lines of, you know, the way that I've learned really to deal with this is to just compartmentalize it, right? To just understand that you can't, the goal should not be to fix people. And I think a lot of times that's what our goal is when we start this, right? When you start thinking about being a mentor or a coach or a teacher or whatever, right? The kind of mentality is to fix people. Where what we're really focused on is we don't want to fix people. We want to give them and create the environments that allow them to fix themselves. And that's where we're focused. And I think that is what, or at least putting it that way, is what helps me emotionally deal with that as well. Because I can tell you, I lose a lot of sleep over it. A lot of sleep. Because I've been a fixer most of my life. And now I'm fighting against that and trying not to be that today.
No, I completely agree with that, because I'm a, by nature, I'm a protector. And I'm always trying to protect the little guy. Like, I once you start winning too many Super Bowls, I can't like that team anymore. I have to go find, you know, the underdog to go root for or something like that. And every time I get to the demographic that pulls at my heart, homeless people, homeless kids, or oppressed people, because that's just something. And oppression comes in many different forms, even you know, self-oppression. When they don't get it, oh, it makes me lose sleep. But then I realize I am very ineffective when I lose sleep. Very, very ineffective. And I can't take as much as I would like to. And I'm probably going to die on a stage somewhere, that's for sure. As much as I would like to, I just can't take everyone's lack of commitment to themselves home with me.
Yeah. Well, and something, an idea kind of comes to my mind when, you know, you're going back to what you were saying about planting seeds. You know, it's not, you're the one tossing the seeds out there, but you're not the one that's putting the type of ground there that the seed's going to be growing in. And sometimes the seeds are going to fall on a rock. Sometimes it's going to fall on, you know, fertilized soil. And sometimes it's going to fall on the fertilized soil that happens to have a hole in it and can actually grow. You know, and yeah, once you kind of look at that perspective, you know, you're going to be facing a lot more rocks and dry land, but you know, it helps.
Yeah.
When I was teaching back in grad school, that was the way I kind of always was like, hey, you guys goofing off over there? Fine. Don't worry about it. You'll figure it out later, sort of thing. So,
yeah.
As we're moving on here, you know, we're just now starting the last quarter of 2018, moving on to 2019. What are some of the things that you have on the horizon, and what are you looking forward to, or that has you excited?
Okay, so my looking forward to is going to be a little doom and gloomy, and so I'm going to say that one for last. I started a college, I have a bunch of universities, you know, but they're not really accredited. I'm working on it right now. I'm going through the accreditation process, a real college, and I'm making steps to become a Division I college.
Nice.
And it's crazy. I'm just this kid from the hood, and I wanted to start a college. So I just said, you know what? Let me just start a college. And right now, 3 degrees, psychology, business, and theology are the first three. And we're going through the accreditation process right now. We're going to give away GDs, associates, and bachelors. That's one of my biggest projects. And here's the crazy thing. I had to get a trademark because I invented a new way to do education. Can't say too much, but just know that you can pay for a full year of, a full 4 years of this college with a sustainable learning model for less than $5,000.
Nice.
All 4 years, man.
I love it.
And I want to take it around the world and stuff. So that's what it's going to be. It's an affordable college for anyone, because I can't stand the fact that half of our, you know, deficit is going to kids that didn't have to pay the government back.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm looking forward to, this is so awful. Okay, this is where I'm such a capitalist, y'all. I really am. And that capitalist messes up my Christian values all the time. But I can't wait for the economy to crash. I can't wait. I'm so excited about the economy crashing. I mean, I told you this is awful, but I can't wait because we've been in plenty for too long, and I have a lot of cash saved up, and I have an aggressive goal of being a billionaire by July 20th, 2020. And I need the economy to crash so I can meet my goal. So I can buy a bunch of stuff low and sell it high. Now, my ultimate goal is, and this is well-documented, YouTube written down, I want to become a billionaire because no one in my situation has ever done it. Well, maybe Steve Jobs, because he was adopted. But And I want to give 80% of all that income back. Like, I don't need all that money. I want to create programs, entrepreneur programs, podcasting programs for people, scholarships. So that's the thing I'm looking forward to, which is not good news, but good news for me saving the world, so to speak.
Well, and you know, you bring up a point. It's always been kind of a goal of mine as well to, you know, they always say that in the church is, you know, it's a good 10% is a good tithing, so to speak. Well, what if you could live on the 10% and then give away 90% sort of thing? So
that's it right there. Yeah. Yep.
So,
you know, I love that you said that. I've met three billionaires in my life, or at least three that I knew were billionaires. And I've met plenty of millionaires in my lifetime, especially working out in Hollywood and all that. And I tell you that here's the one thing that I've noticed. There's a big difference between millionaires and billionaires. I've found that most millionaires are misers, or selfish, or somewhat of a scarcity mindset, which is how they got their millions typically, right? Especially if they came from, you know, modest means or whatever to become a millionaire. But I've noticed that most billionaires, they're not misers, they're not extravagant, but their focus is giving away their money.
That's it.
That's the focus of a billionaire. And to me, wow, that was a big eye-opener to physically actually see it. And when I say give it away, not give it away in investments and all that, but truly, how can we cure cancer? How can we build better batteries? How can we get off fossil fuels? Right? Kind of the Elon Musk, I guess, of the world. Bill Gates.
Yeah, Elon Musk is my hero. And that's why I literally want to give it away. I literally want to do exactly what you just said. And I thank you for saying that, because I did not know that I'm thinking like a billionaire. I said, I never do that. I never do that until you said it. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, because there's no capitalist in the world that's sitting back going, you know what? I think I want to spend all my money going to Mars. Or, you know what? I want to take on the oil and the auto industries and create electric cars. Just because. I mean, there's nobody that sits back going, that's going to make me a billionaire twice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Millionaires seem to try to use the rules to their benefit, but only stay within the boundaries of the game, so to speak.
Right. And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I don't follow rules. See, I'm such a bad reverend again. This is going to keep coming up. You guys, it's so bad. But it's the truth, though. I've learned. Now, this is from experience. I didn't read this anywhere. This is from my life experience. And the reason I make money today, and I'm fortunate to make a lot, and of course, I mean, I'm well documented and giving away more than I make, or almost more than I make, and that would be impossible. But as a lot of it, I understand that if you follow rules, you're upholding your poverty condition, because rules are written by the winners. When I tell I got two boys, I homeschool them both, they're 9 and 6. When I tell my kids go to bed, that doesn't mean I'm going to bed. I am the warrior in the house. You follow my rules so I can uphold your poverty condition, which is let me watch or read whatever I want to read. Mm-hmm. Because I wrote the rules so I don't have to follow them. When you are following rules. I'm not talking about morality. You know, we need rules. I'm not preaching anarchy or something. I'm saying start a podcast because they told you they couldn't. Reach your audience and then do crazy things to reach your audience that are not written in the rule books. Do an event and then make everyone give your name and email to that event, and have 4,000 people at the event, and grow your email list, and then have that email list go to your podcast. Whatever you have to do, don't operate in the box, because there's 97% of people in the world in the box. Mm-hmm. And 1% of that world owns 96% of their income. Get out the rules, get out the box, and you'll be able to do something.
Love it. So as we're closing up the show today, always go into the rapid fire question segment. And the first one,
we're closing. That makes me so sad.
Yeah. We got to wrap it up for people that are on time constraints listening to the show. So, Who are your three favorite influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you're at today?
Elon Musk, Gary Vee, Grant Cardone.
Nice.
If you could have dinner with anyone living or dead, who would it be?
Mother Teresa.
Hmm. In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
We're all connected. Don't be ignorant in a butthole.
Nice. Love that.
What's one gift that you love to give others?
Reese's peanut butter cups and free knowledge of how to get money.
Mm. And what's one thing that you would love to do in your lifetime that no one knows about?
Climb a volcano.
You're so on it, man. I love it. You do have quick thinking. That's amazing.
I love it.
And the last one, how can someone be a difference maker in their community?
Buy it. Don't. Don't move out of it. Stay in it and buy it and make the changes you want to do.
Oh, cool. Well, Antonio, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Really appreciate it. A lot of eye-opening perspectives you have there, man. And people can follow you again on your website, theatsjunior.com, but you're also on the socials. And what are those?
Everything at theatsjr, the like the definite article, and just find me there. And since I'm a master of sales funnels, you'll find me everywhere.
Awesome. Cool.
Love it.
Cool, man. Thanks.
Man, thank you guys very much.
This was a good talk. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you. Thank y'all.
So there you have it, guys. You know, Antonio, really awesome and inspiring guy. He's arguably one of the most giving guests I've had on the show. And it's because of that, I really think he's going to become a billionaire before too long. He's going to put his mind to it and just blow it out of the water. If you want to connect with him, I'll have his contact information available in the show notes via newinceptions.com/134. And in the show note extras of this particular session, I have a few videos of Antonio's that I wanted to share with you. The first one is one that I spoke of in our conversation about how high performers are no longer performing highly. That one is just a gold mine. You know, I've actually viewed it a couple of times myself because it's just so much to take in at once. Then after that, I have a couple of short ones for you. The first one is about a topic I've thought about quite a bit recently, profit over popularity. And then there's another video called Keep the Wrong People Away, which, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't realize that that was something that you could actually do. And it wasn't until late in college that I started purposely choosing who I hung out with. And finally, in the last video, Antonio gives us a bit of a preview of what you'll be learning in his upcoming conference called Conference 100K. Right now, you can sign up for it as an early bird, but I can't guarantee you how long that will last because you're going to be listening to this conversation at a different point than when it was published. So no guarantees on if that early bird price is still available. So that's it, guys. Thank you again for joining us for session 134. Appreciate you spending some time with us today and hope it brought you some value. Don't forget, if you want real answers to starting your online business with a wholehearted community, access to weekly coaching calls, and a collection of practical courses, then give Fizzle a shot. Get your first month free by visiting newinceptions.com/Fizzle. So again, thanks for joining Harrison, Antonio, and myself today. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.